I would like to welcome you to St. Joseph's Novitiate this morning for the ceremonies, the reception of the habit, the profession of first vows, the renewal of temporal vows, and the profession of perpetual vows. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have appointed you that you should go and should bring forth fruit. These words are taken from the Gospel of St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, the ceremonies this morning, as I mentioned, consist of the reception of the habit, the first profession of vows, the renewal of temporary vows, and the perpetual profession of vows in the congregation. Now, the first part of the ceremonies, the reception of the habit, has already taken place. Three postulants receive their habits, and they will return shortly, clothed as daughters of Mary. When they return in the habit of a novice, they will then receive a copy of the constitutions and the rule of their congregation, the book of the divine office, which they will use to sing in choir with their fellow sisters. And finally, each new novice will receive a name by which they will be known in religious life. This is followed by the profession of first vows by the novices who have completed their postulancy and 2 years of novitiate. Four novices will kneel before the altar and make their first vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience in the congregation of the Daughters of Mary. They will each read their profession aloud and then sign it. After this, they will receive the black veil of a professed sister, a crucifix, as well as the silver wedding band of first profession, which shows their espousal to Christ by the three vows they have just taken. When this is done, they will humbly prostrate before the altar and will be covered by the sisters with a black funeral pall as the Psalm De Profundis is sung. The black pall is the same one that is placed upon a casket at a funeral. But unlike a funeral, the meaning is not sad, but joyous. For the religious, by this act, declare that they are now dead to the world, but alive to Christ. For they are espoused to him by the three vows of religion, poverty, chastity, and obedience. With Christ, they die to the world and then rise in glory, as the ceremony demonstrates when the pall is removed. Then will come the ceremony of perpetual profession in which two professed sisters will make their final vows as daughters of Mary. By doing so, they will bind themselves for life to the congregation by the same three vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And they will then exchange their silver wedding bands for one of gold. After the perpetual profession of vows, Mass will begin. At communion time, those who have made perpetual profession as well as those renewing their temporary profession will kneel as the sacred host is held before them and pronounce their vows before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And finally, the ceremonies will conclude with the singing of the Te Deum, which is the church's official hymn of thanksgiving in gratitude to God for his many blessings. My dear faithful, the origin of today's events does not go back months or years to when these young ladies entered the convent. A vocation is a special gift from God. As our Lord once said to his apostles and to all those whom he calls to the religious life, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And furthermore, this grace of a vocation must be nurtured and cared for through the formative years of a person's life. Today, therefore, we are also very grateful to the parents of all religious who have cooperated so generously with God's grace and given their sons and daughters to religious life. A certain priest writing about the fostering of a vocation attributes it primarily to the efforts of a good mother. For the mother is the heart of a family, and a Catholic mother works closely with Almighty God in the development of a vocation. This priest writes, "I have sometimes said that mothers are seldom canonized simply because there is no need for the church to stress the obvious. A really good mother," he continues, "the mother of a future nun, for example, is a saint with all the heroism of the saint, but none of the spectacular manifestation." This same priest goes on to write about the sisters who are the daughters of such good mothers. He says, "Any sister who can these days live the full life of her calling in close union with God and with unflagging loyalty to souls is a saint who is working the constant miracle of high sanctity in the midst of weariness, giving proof of a love that rises above the quicksands of discouragement and physical fatigue and mental exhaustion and the constant draining of the soul by the demands of people and more people." And lest you think that the sentiments of this priest are just pious exaggerations, I would like to read you a letter which I think will help put this morning's ceremonies and vocations in general into perspective. This letter was written to the Daughters of Mary by a woman they encountered in the midst of their travels. And though the sisters had only a few moments to speak with this woman standing on the curb of John F. Kennedy Airport, they nevertheless made a profound impression upon her, as the letter indicates. The lady writing begins by introducing herself and telling a bit of her life story. She made the trip to New York last summer to pursue a doctorate. It was a big commitment and a difficult decision to leave her family for a few weeks. These circumstances, combined with the pressure of her academic work, left her feeling somewhat anxious as she arrived in New York City. To take up the narrative in her own words, she writes, "On stepping off the plane at JFK, much to my surprise, I saw two sisters in black habits standing on the curb. I was carrying four pieces of luggage, including a desktop computer and all my research. I was feeling a bit sheepish and awkward, but I could not help saying hello to the sisters, asking to what order they belonged, and telling them how happy I was to see them here. They were very kind," she goes on, "and offered me a prayer card. I very rarely take prayer cards, but I took this one. In the car, I texted my family how cheering it was to see Catholic sisters in New York City up immediately upon my arrival." Fast forward a couple of weeks, she continues, "and I hit a bit of a wall in my work. I didn't write or do much of anything on my thesis yesterday, and today I experienced a lot of anxiety all day. I couldn't get out of my own head, so to speak, and I was feeling overwhelmed." The lady goes on to explain that in an effort to calm her nerves and resume her work, she played a video that she found online, a beautifully sung version of the Magnificat. She played the video over and over again as she tried to refocus on her work. Then she thought, perhaps I can download this hymn and put it on repeat instead of playing the same video over and over again. I saw that it was sung by the Daughters of Mary, and a bit of internet research led me to find the MP3 of the Mary of Graces album on Amazon. I listened to the entire album, and it had a marvelously uplifting effect. I became curious about the Daughters of Mary, she writes, and soon found your website. I noticed that you have a convent on Long Island, right here in New York. And then I remembered the card and the sisters at the airport. I vaguely remembered them saying that they were Daughters of Mary. I ran to find the card, and indeed there it was, Daughters of Mary, Mother of our Savior. So you have now met me in two places and times when I needed encouragement. Right when I landed in New York, not knowing whether I would be able to accomplish my task, and now on a dark day when I still don't know. The conclusion of this woman's letter is particularly striking. She writes, "When I encounter strangers, I often think that I don't know their story, but that God does. Who knows but that they might need a prayer that I could say, or that a kind interaction might make a difference in their day. We don't always find out what mattered and what didn't, but in this case, I wanted to write and say thank you to your community. It's uncharacteristic of me to share so many details of my life with strangers, but I thought the details might give some context. It's been a long, difficult journey, and in the end, it's awfully nice to know about the Daughters of Mary. I understand," she continues, "that religious life like life out here, has its joys and struggles. So perhaps some encouragement will matter to you too. You should know that your presence is a great witness to the world, and for me personally, it has been a great encouragement. Thank you for wearing your habits so that we know you are there. Thank you for the beautiful music you are producing. And thank you for the countless other ways the life you are living blesses others." She concludes by saying, "I'm afraid I don't recall the names of the sisters that I met at JFK, but please tell them that their brief conversation with me meant a lot. From my family to your community, may the peace of Christ be with you always." We will never know in this life, my dear faithful, how much good the sisters have done by their prayers and good example, even just wearing their habit in public. But this letter does give us a glimpse of what things God can accomplish by means of the sisters' fidelity to their vocation. And so I encourage you to pray often for more vocations to the religious life, to pray that more young people will be generous in answering God's call. And of course, I encourage you to encourage vocations in the home. For the world, the flesh, and the devil are real obstacles to a vocation, and they can only be overcome by God's grace, which you can earn for another by your prayers and sacrifices and good example. And finally, in your gratitude to the sisters for all they do not forget to pray for them too. And know that they truly appreciate all the sacrifices you make on their behalf. With God's grace, Our Lady's protection, your prayers and support, may they persevere in fidelity to their vocations and continue to bring God's blessings upon us and our families. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.